Hello everyone, my name is Nazim Lala. I'm a software engineer at Microsoft. I work for the Azure App Service team. And today we are going to be talking about Linux on Azure App Service. Before we talk about Linux on Azure App Service, I think it's important for us to talk about what Azure App Service actually is. Azure App Service is a fully managed platform for building web and mobile applications as well as API applications that run on any platform or device. We have amazing integration with on-premise, so you can build hybrid applications that partly live in the cloud and partly live on-premise. We also have an amazing DevOps story that makes it very easy for you to rapidly publish and update your application. And we also have a fully enterprise security and scalable ready solution that makes it very easy for you to secure your application as well as scale it up and down automatically and seamlessly. So what is offered within this umbrella is a web apps, which essentially you use for building web applications, mobile applications as well. You can also build API apps and function apps. Function apps are essentially a serverless application type, so you don't really need to dedicate any resources at all. You just have some code, which we call function, that gets called. And depending on how many times or what the volume of a call is, we will automatically scale you up and down. So you completely don't have to worry about this infrastructure behind it, which is why we call it serverless. And we also have logic apps, which are a way for visualizing how to connect apps and build basically a data logic flow for applications. So now that we know what Azure App Service is, it's important for us to find out why we think, you know, having the same offering that we have on App Service, offering it on a Linux-based platform is important for us. One of the main important things to realize here is that we need to be where our customers are. Our customers, one in every three VMs on Azure is already Linux. That's growing much faster as well. It's always been one of our top asks on User Voice and forums where we have customers telling us what they want and the gaps that we have in our story. It's also a huge business opportunity for us. The other thing is that one of the things that customers tell us very often is they have a lot of applications, and these applications might have extensions or add-ons and things like of that sort that essentially are really tailor-built for Linux and don't really work as well on Windows. And so they see a lot of gaps where they have applications that mostly work on Windows platform, but some of these things don't really have an ideal runtime impact or performance impact on when you run them on Windows. So this is, we heard loud and clear, and so we said, okay, we need to give our customers a better alternative for those applications that don't really run really well on Windows. The other thing is, you know, people are already, they already have their workloads running in a particular application stack. And sometimes those application stacks themselves don't work very well on Windows, or we don't have a good offering that supports that, and it works really well on Linux. And so things like, you know, Meteor.js, we have ways of running on Windows, but they run much better natively on Linux. Also, there's like, you know, tooling and, you know, support and add-ons and things. You can think about things like WordPress. WordPress has a whole bunch of add-ons, and some of those add-ons really don't work very well on Windows, but they work really well on Linux. So we heard all this feedback, and so it's, you know, we took it to heart that we really need to have a Linux-based offering for our solution as well. The other reason is really about embracing change, right? We've sort of like keep reinforcing this message that Microsoft really loves Linux. It's not just paying lip service to the message. We, you know, do think that customers have a huge amount of application stack development that have already done on Linux, and it would be very difficult for us to ask them to change all that when they move to the cloud. So we need to make sure that we are there for them with the Linux offering. Azure also is an open platform. So we need to have fully managed Linux alternatives here. I mean, Azure has done an amazing job with IaaS, with infrastructure as a service, and VMs, and VM scale sets, Azure Container Service, and things like that. It has an open platform, so we really need to have a fully managed solution that's Linux-based as well. The other thing is, you know, we've had a good offering on Windows, and, you know, we really wanted to just challenge ourselves and tell customers that we can do this great on Linux as well. The other thing is that the development paradigm really has changed a little bit. One of the things is that the way applications are packaged have sort of changed, because people have really gone to the whole container model because it makes development much easier. So you have an application that's containerized, it's easier for you to debug it locally, and then it doesn't matter where I put the application, things just work. And this has been gaining a lot of momentum, even with new development paradigms like developing microservices. So it really behooved us to basically give people who are used to this sort of development model a way to very easily deploy and test their applications in the cloud, right? And then have a managed platform that lets them scale up and down seamlessly without really having to worry about managing the infrastructure behind their application. The other thing also is we just talked about Azure Functions a little while ago, which is one of the offerings that we have in Azure App Service. And this is all about serverless computation, right? Where essentially you really don't need to worry about anything in the back end. What sort of resources your server needs to get your application running and how it needs to scale up and down depending on the amount of traffic coming in. And it would be very interesting to, you know, it's get something like this combined with a microservice architecture working also on top of Linux as a fully managed option. And so these are some of the main reasons why we thought that we really needed an option for Azure App Service running on Linux. So this talk is mostly going to be about demos, right? So I'll walk you through what we have and how things work behind the scenes. So that people have a better understanding of what our offering is right now. One thing that I would like to clarify is that we are still in preview, so we are not generally available yet. We have 3 regions that we are available in right now, and hopefully once we go through the demos, things will be a little clearer on how things work and what direction we're taking. So here we have the Azure Management Portal, and if you go to the Azure Management Portal under the New tab and go to Web and Mobile, you scroll down a little bit and you will see Web App on Linux Preview. Clicking on this will give you an option to enter your application name. So let's just go give an application name. Let's try Image Magic, if I can spell it correctly. Let's choose a subscription that I want to go and put this in, and a resource group. And I believe I already have a resource group. Connect. There you go. And we'll put it in this plan. And I am going to go and select what kind of application that I want to deploy. And if I go here, we have a bunch of built-in application stacks, as you can see in this list. And I'm going to go deploy a Node 6.6 app and say OK. At this point, let me just pin this to the dashboard and click on Create. And that's all the information you need to go create your web app on Linux. That's going to be based on a Node 6.6 application stack. Once it is finished deploying your web application, you should see a screen like this show up. And if you click on the URL, you should be able to get to the site. So once we click on the URL, you can see that you have just a sort of a hello world page saying you have a Node.js application that's successfully created and that it's version 6.6. So now let's go and see if you can actually deploy an application to this. If you go back to our application in the management portal, you will see that we have deployment options. And if you select that, I can choose a source that I want to deploy from. And in this case, I'm going to go deploy from GitHub. Now, I've single signed on to GitHub already using my account. So here's my application on GitHub that I really want to demo. So let me go and select that application. So I'm going to choose the project, and it is called Image Magic App. Choose from master, and I'll say OK. And so at this point, it's going to hook up my website to this GitHub repository. And it'll be hooked up for continuous deployment. So every time I make a change to this application here, it'll automatically be reflected and it'll automatically deploy to my web application in the cloud. Now, you could always do this Node.js app on Windows as well. But the interesting thing here is actually Image Magic. Image Magic is an image manipulation package that actually depends on some native libraries on Linux. They have a version for Windows, but it does not really work very well. And so this is a very popular Node.js package, and a lot of customers really use this, and they have been complaining saying, hey, if you guys had an option that ran on Linux, it would be a lot easier for us. So we heard loud and clear, and we can actually go look at deployment options again, And you can see at this point, it's actually going and getting, fetching things from GitHub. While it's doing this deployment, let's just go to the SCM site. So if you scroll down to the tools, advanced tools, and you click on go, you should see the SCM site. And you can see at this point, it's sort of like single sign me on because I was already logged in to the Azure Management Portal. So one of the things that you can see here is, you can see a whole bunch of environment settings, and you can see that we are running on Unix, that's a Linux OS, and you can see a whole bunch of information about my application, your environment variables, your path, and things of that nature. And you can also just further go in, and you can launch a Bash console. So in this console, I can go look at what's going on with my application. So if I go to the log files directly, for instance, and I can see that I have a bunch of log files here. I even have a folder for Docker. We will talk about this a little bit more later on. And you can kind of see that it's doing its thing. So if you go into Kudu, for example, and you can see deployment folder, and if I look in there, you can see that I don't really have anything going on, any logs right now, but soon I should probably have some logs because my deployment is still ongoing. The other thing I can do is I can go to my site, root directory, and this is where my content should be. And you can kind of see that it's already started to put some of the files from my GitHub repository. So you can see all these files and it's starting to put them in there. So let's just try seeing if the site has actually already been updated yet. It's still not been updated. So let's just go back to our window right here. Let's go to application settings really quick so I can show you what you see here. So if you go to application settings, the first thing you will see is that we have PHP and Node, and we can kind of see that this Node.js version has already been set up. There's an option for a startup file over here. You can kind of see that I have a process.json file inside my repository, and what this contains is just configuration for PM2, which is a process manager for Node.js. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say that this is going to actually be my so if I set this to process.json, it's basically going to say that my node startup actually is process.json, and it'll start using PM2 as my configuration. So let's go here and save this. It's going to take a little bit to go update my web app settings. It says it's done at this point. Let's go back to our website and refresh. So you can kind of see it's still refreshing, it's trying to get, and there we go. We have our new application. It's running an application that does image magic in the backend. So you can kind of see if we go back to the app, let's just go and get a quick URL and go do something. So I'm gonna put some URL for Jeff saying, Linux app service, make a Jeff. In the meantime, while it's going generating a GIF for us, let's go back and look at what the actual application really does. So if you see the server.js file for here, for example, all it's really doing is it's going and getting a GIF and then using image magic to let you put text onto it, right? And this is like a sort of an application that would not really work very well on Node.js running on Windows. So if you go back here, there you go. We have our GIF that's working over there and using image magic. So this is pretty cool. You know, I have a bunch of stuff running natively on Linux at this point. But obviously, there's a lot more stuff you can do. So one of the things that you probably noticed is that when we went to the Kudu console, you saw that there was a directory called Docker for logs. And what's happening over here is that in the backend, each application that you have runs in its own Docker container. So this begs the question that, okay, if I have applications that run in their own Docker container, can I just provide my own Docker image and have that run in the application? And the answer is yes. It's actually very simple to do this. And essentially, that's what I'm going to show you really quickly over here. So Let's just go to Docker Hub really quickly, and I'll show you that I have a Ruby on Rails application over here, an image which has a Ruby on Rails, and you can see I have a bunch of tags here, and I have a latest tag for this image, and let's just go and this application that I already created that was Node.js, let me go change it and actually use a custom image. So you'll see right under application settings, we have a setting called Docker container. And once I go there, I can basically say, hey, I had a built-in image I was using, but I want to use something from Docker Hub now. And I can go in here and I can essentially say, I want to use this Ruby hello image and say, yes, save this. So once it saves this, what's going to happen is that the application is now going to run against that container image. And so the next time I actually launch this application again, it's going to reload the app. And at this point, it's going to go do a Docker pull. And it's actually going to run my Ruby on Rails app shortly. Let's keep refreshing this page. Let's also go check really quickly if we see logs from Docker here. So let's go back to our Kudu site. I'm going to go to the console. And we will go back to that log files directory that we saw earlier. And over here, you can see that I have a Docker directory. And I have an output file here. So if I just do cat this file out, did I lose focus? Maybe I did lose focus. Hold on, let's refresh this page. Let's try that again. Let's go to log files. And just, there's an S in there. Docker. There you go. So you can see there's an output, and you can see it's actually pulled an image, NazML Ruby hello, and started it up here. Let's just go quickly back, and if you go look at application settings, what this has done for us is that it actually has set a new app setting here with my image name. And at this point, I mean, other settings like this don't really matter, so I can just even just go remove for the Node.js startup file, for example. Just remove that. And let's just go check our site. I just changed the application setting again. So it is going to go restart my site. And you can see that now I actually have Ruby on Rails running. And it's like, you know, if you go back to a new create site thing, I don't really have an option here anyway to run Ruby on Rails, but because I'm using a custom image from Docker, I actually got Ruby on Rails running. More importantly, I can actually go publish changes and actually have them reflected in here. So let's see, like I have this application locally here as well. So here's my application. And if I go and open up my Ruby file, config, here's my file. Let's go make a change over here. Ruby on Rails in web apps on Linux. Let's make a change. Let's go and build this image. Docker build. Ruby hello. Let's just overwrite our latest image. So I'm just locally building a new image for the Ruby app. I made a small change. It's going and building the entire image at this point. Okay, once I'm done building, let's just go push this back to Docker Hub. So I'm gonna go just to Docker push, SML, Ruby, hello, latest. And this is essentially gonna go update the image that I have up on Docker Hub. So if I go to Docker Hub here, oops, let's go refresh this page. You can see that it just got updated a few seconds ago. So I have a new tag over here. I don't need to really change anything there. And this is something also that we don't really need. So I'm going to get rid of that. And I'm going to save my application settings. Okay, it's updated my application settings. Now let's see if we can go back here and refresh our page and get the new application loaded. Okay, it's restarting the site at this point. Let's keep refreshing this. And there you go. You actually have your application updated. And if I went back to the app site, if the SCM site over here, and if I just carried out this, the file, here you will see that I actually did a pull again, and I restarted the site, and I got a new image, and I'm running the new image right now in the site. So you can see that was pretty easy for me to just go develop the package, the Docker on the Docker image locally on my machine, push it up, and then just update it on my site. So that's a pretty easy way to get custom images running. Now, the good thing is that a lot of people might not be very comfortable doing all of this inside the Azure Management Portal. We also have the Azure CLI that runs cross-platform. So for example, what I'm going to do now is that I have a version of it over here. So let me just go quickly find it. Okay. So Splat CLI. Okay, and here. Cool. So here's my XSplat CLI, and you'll see that here's all the options that I have. I can list my accounts at this point. And if you go and do Azure Web App, you can see that we have a whole bunch of options here for how to go use this. The command line, and then we have a documentation that'll show you how to use custom images and Docker images, and even just using web apps on Linux in general, using the Azure CLI as well. So it's pretty easy. You could just see that we have a custom image running. My Node app, my Ruby application was also pretty simple. I have a sample of that up on GitHub as well. So in my repository, if you go look at Ruby Hello, this is all I really had. I had a Docker file, and all the Docker file really does is it runs Puma, which is a concurrent web server, and it uses the application. My application uses Rack, so I'll show you the and essentially I have a environment variable called port that I use to launch the application and listen to. If I go back to the app and look at the gem file, all it really does is it gets Rack and Puma, and looking at my actual Ruby file, it's pretty simple. It's just a single line of code over here, and you can change the text to whatever you want. And that's how we get a custom image running in this. So let me just close this. So you can see it's pretty like just a very simple single click. And this in this demo, I kind of showed like just starting a Node.js site, deploying to the Node.js site automatically from GitHub, having it being updated from GitHub, then changing it over to using Docker Hub, an image from Docker Hub. But you have several different options as well. You don't have to use a public repository from Docker Hub. You can also use a private one. If you go create a new website, for example, we can show you all these different options that you have. So here you can see we have a new web app on Linux. Let's go back again over here. Let me just go change my subscription to something else, give it a name. And give it a new name for a resource group. And if you go to the configure container, you can see that we have several options here. You had the built-in images that you could use, which we have Node.js and PHP and ASP.NET Core. You can also use Docker Hub. and you can deploy either a public or a private repository. If you select a public repository, all we really need from you is an image name. If you select the private option, then we'll obviously additionally need a login username and password that we use to access your private repository. But if you do not use Docker Hub and you have your own private registry, you can also go to a private registry. You can have sort of enter your URL, login and username for your private registry, and then an image name and tag, and we'll essentially go and pull your image from there instead. So several different options to make this really flexible for you. That's all I have in terms of demos. Let's go back to the slides. So now that we saw some of the demos, the next question that might be popping into people's minds is, so what's next? And let's just talk about the roadmap really quick. So we already have a bunch of features that I've mentioned here in the slide. We already have a bunch of runtime and application stacks available at this point. We will constantly keep adding to this, and we hope that these are the features that we will hopefully add by the time we do VGA, which is going to be sometime early next year. We don't have an exact date, and again, this list is what we think right now based on the interactions we have had with customers so far. But again, depending on what you tell us through forums or other means, this list could possibly change. And so that's the most important part here, right? We are really depending on you to tell us what you really need to see from this app, from this stack that we are building to make your development lifecycle and application a success in the cloud. And so how do you really get in touch with us? The easiest way is to get on our forums. So if you just search for Azure App Service forums in your favorite search engine, you should just immediately get to our forums. Or if you like using Stack Overflow, you can just use Stack Overflow, just tag it with Azure websites, as is mentioned in the slides. And you will basically just, someone from our engineering team will pick it up, and we can just follow up and have a conversation about sort of what your needs are. The other way, a good way to get a look at this stuff is, we have a lot of documentation. We'll keep updating our documentation to talk about new features, upcoming features, or answering frequently answered questions. And then usually what happens is that there's a lot of comments in the documentation section, and we are pretty active in answering those comments as well. So you can always just drop in a comment on the documentation page that we have, and we'll get back to you. And as always, if you need to, you can always just reach me on Twitter as well. My Twitter handle is here. And that's how we can sort of get in touch with us and help us sort of improve our product offering so that we can help you out to build better apps without having to worry about managing the infrastructure that's hosting your app. That's all I really have for you today. Thank you so much for attending my talk, and we hope to hear from you soon on either our forums or on the comment posts, and let us know how we are doing, and thank you very much.